Blog
I got some good news out of Canada today, and I think this song's appropriate. This goes out to those guys up north, and right after that, I'll tell you what the story is.
Yeah.
Okay. The reason I played that is one of the heavy hitter clubs up north out of Canada beat the organized crime charges. And this is the second time in a year, in less than a year, in about a year, that the court found 81 not a criminal organization. And let me read a little bit of this to you here. So the president of the downtown chapter and four members have been acquitted on charges of belonging to a criminal organization. The verdict this weekend came 4 years after mass arrest and a shutdown of the bikers' former bunker-like clubhouse on Eastern Avenue. But that doesn't... You guys got to understand, there's next to the courthouse, it's like a tent city. That's where they have all these guys locked up at. The chapter president, vice president, three members, they were all found guilty of charges relating to trafficking of a date rape drug. Somebody was found one count of cocaine trafficking and was found guilty of possession of restricted firearm. None of the bikers was found guilty of any charges relating to being members of an organized crime group. One member was freed on bail Saturday after the verdict was announced by the jury. One guy who acted as his own lawyer is on strict bail conditions, while three others remain in custody. At the heart of the Crown case was a former club officer, a paid police agent, fucking snitch. Atwell was a chapter sergeant in arms, meaning he was responsible for meting out the discipline. The trial lasted 6 months and deliberations took more than 4 days. Everybody was happy with the verdict. We're satisfied with the result. They're not a criminal organization as they exist in Canada. One member pleaded guilty to 9 charges. Trial begins in November. One member pleaded not guilty to possession of brass knuckles and trafficking to benefit a criminal organization. Let's see. The undercover operation dubbed Project Develop was suddenly halted when it was discovered there was a fucking rat in the midst. Crown told the court up there, I guess the government, they call it the Crown. They heard police stirred up chaos in the biker ranks by secretly seizing a large stash of illegal contraband. Let's see. Anyway, to sum it up, in the closing remarks to the jury, they also argued there's a very significant difference between a criminal organization and an organization that has the criminals in it. But they started that criminal organization thing in Australia. They got it in Canada. They can't get it in the United States because we have a Bill of Rights. Just answering a question here, but let's see. Hold on, we got somebody on the line. Hello, Betsy, is that you?
Yes, it's me, Philip.
What do you think about that news up north?
I just caught the tail end of it. I didn't get it all.
Well, one of the heavy hitters clubs beat the organized crime charges after a marathon trial. Trial lasted 6 months, but the jury deliberated for only 4 days.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So they got acquitted of being in a criminal organization.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll send you the story.
Thank you.
But I asked you to call tonight. The reason I asked you to call is the weather's getting warmer.
Yeah.
But year-round, it's for me, it's year-round. But back there where you're at, I know you deal with the rain, the wind, and the snow. But a lot of people are getting ready to ride and stuff. And since you're my insurance guru.
Oh, thank you.
Maybe you can enlighten people on what to do before they take their bike out of mothballs.
Oh, great. Thank you for the opportunity. Well, first of all, let me just say this. Most of us are getting a little older in years. We've worked hard all our lives to amass what we have, like our homes. We have families. Some of us have IRAs, toys, etc., whatever. What bothers me when people think about choosing insurance for their motorcycles especially is sometimes the mindset is, just get the thing on the road so that I can ride. But the difference between being upright and down on the asphalt is a split second. And in that split second, we can financially ruin ourselves if we don't select sufficient limits for ourselves. So I thought I'd give a little talk on motorcycle insurance. And it does vary a bit from state to state, but basically it's the same. For instance, even though, like, if you look at a motorcycle insurance policy, there may be, like, 10 to 12 different coverages, the simple way to remember is that there's only two types of coverage. One is bodily injury. That's injury you do to your body or someone else's body. And the other is property damage. Damage you do to someone else's property. It could be their bike, their house, the street light, whatever, the car. And in this case, on a motorcycle policy, your property would be your bike. It's easy to try and cut corners, but it isn't worth it. And I always suggest that people take as much as they can afford and as much as the law will allow when it comes to bodily injury, because the last thing you want to do is leave yourself or your family in a financial bind should you go down. And a lot of times, well, for instance, I'll give you stats here in Massachusetts. We've got over 4 million drivers. Out of those 4 million drivers, 25% of them are driving around after revocation of insurance. So your chances of getting in an accident or being involved in an accident with somebody that's got no insurance is like 1 in 4, okay? The other thing is the minimal coverage here in Massachusetts of bodily injury limits are $20,000 per person, $40,000 per accident. And it's guesstimated another 40% select those limits of liability. So your chances of being involved in an accident with someone who has those low limits of liability are pretty good, too. So that pretty much stacks the deck against us. You following me thus far?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. All right, so the portion of the policy in most cases that will respond to a lawsuit is the optional bodily injury to others. That's injury you do to someone else. That's where you want to protect what you own so that, God forbid, you cause bodily injury to someone else, you know, they can't come after you and walk away with everything you own. If there are limits on the policy, a lot of times the attorneys will settle for the limits on the policy and walk away. A good standard amount would be like $250,000 or $250,000 per person, $500,000 per accident. Depending on the carrier, some carriers won't even let you write more than that, but there are ways to purchase more limits than that. You can get an umbrella policy that will go over your home and your auto, which could give you limits over and above that. But let's stick with the policy itself right now so I don't confuse people.
Right.
All right, so that $250,000, $500,000 would be limits that you are willing to give other people. So by the same token, why wouldn't you want to give yourself the same limits you're willing to give someone else? So let's say, God forbid, you're riding down the street and some kid comes out of a side street, takes you right away, and he's only got 20/40. Well, in most states, you cannot stack coverage, meaning you can't go after his coverage, then come back and get yours and pile it on top of his. In Massachusetts, you could go get his $20,000, then you could come back against your own policy and get the difference. So if I had limits of $250,000, $500,000, and I was hit by someone who only had $20,040, I could get his $20,000, then I could come back to my own policy and I have access to another $230,000 worth of coverage. Now, that would cover hospital bills, home health aids, pain, suffering, whatever. And we all know how expensive hospital bills are these days. And I would suggest that people take those limits for uninsured and underinsured as well. And then property damage to others would be obviously their property, the house, the car, the street lamp, their bike, whatever. You know, there's nothing worse than riding in a group. You know, one person goes down, and next thing you know, you got a whole pile up, and everybody goes down. So, like, the standard today in Massachusetts for property damage is $100,000. But just to give you an idea, to go up from $100,000 to $250,000 is only like $3 a year. It's like one of the best buys of the industry. There again, buy as much as the law will allow and as much as you can afford. Because, you know, why be penny wise and pound foolish for a lousy $3? If you cause $150,000 worth of damage, and how many of us out there are riding around with on bikes that are worth $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000? So 2 to 3 bikes go down, you could have $150,000 worth of property damage to others right there.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Art from out here in Poway?
Mm-hmm.
He wants to know about phantom vehicle accidents.
Ah, phantom vehicle accidents are difficult. Reason being phantom vehicle accidents are difficult is when you try to come back to your own policy, it's like you can't because there's no, unless you can prove somehow, like a witness says, I saw another vehicle leave the scene or something like that, it's difficult to prove and to be able to come back and access your limits. So phantom vehicle policies are difficult unless in some way, shape, or form, you know, you can prove that there was another vehicle that caused your accident. Now, in Massachusetts, personal injury protection, the minute we get on our bikes, we don't have any. It goes out the window.
That's where the other party does not stop or get identified.
Right. That would be an example of a phantom accident. But, you know, if there's somebody even standing on the street corner that could come forward and say, oh, I saw that red sedan take off, you know, then the company would believe you. I've seen it go both ways. I've seen a company take the word of a person and allow them access, and then I've seen them deny it. So I guess it all depends on the circumstances.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because when that guy hit me, he got off his bike, waited to see. Once he saw that I moved, he took off.
Was there anybody that said that they saw him?
30 people. Everybody stopped. I was
well,
on the ground in the middle of the...
That's what I mean. So you had 30 people that said there was another vehicle that caused it, right?
Yes.
Okay. So your phantom is not really a phantom because you had 30 witnesses who said that's what happened.
Yeah, that's why that prick's got 5 more years on his sentence right now.
Exactly.
He got seven. He ended up getting 7 years. 4 DUI.
Well, good. He deserved it. You know, driving drunk is not a wise thing to do. You know.
No, and he had everything was in his wife's name.
Oh, one of those. So he thought he could get around everything by throwing everything in his wife's name. I hate to tell you from what I've seen from this side of my desk. I've seen it all. I've heard every story, every game, you name it. I've seen it, heard it, see people try to get away with it. It's ridiculous. But anyway, so I don't know. You want me to continue or?
We're getting questions.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, do you want me to stop and answer questions or you want me to keep going or what?
No, when I get the questions.
Oh, all right. Okay. Now, how does it work in California for personal injury protection when you get on your motorcycle? Do you have that coverage or does it disappear?
No, I haven't.
I had it.
Yeah, I had it. My health insurance picked up everything, and then they went to the insurance company. It was $278,000.
Okay. Now, traditionally, what we've been seeing in my industry, out this way anyway, is, well, first of all, when you get transported to the hospital here, there's 2 questions that are asked. The first one is this the result of a work-related incident? And the second one is this the result of a motor vehicle incident of any kind? The minute you say yes to either one of those, your health carrier generally steps aside. Now, that isn't to say that they will not respond. It's to say they generally will step aside. And should they pay, then what we're seeing is the minute they find out there's any kind of proceeds from an incident, then
right,
they're there with their hand out and they want to be reimbursed.
Absolutely.
Right. So the thing is, now here in Massachusetts, we're allowed to take 25,000 medical payments max. It's not a lot, but it's something. It'll get you transported to the hospital. And here in Massachusetts, it's like the last no-fault coverage we have, meaning you just send the bills to the company, and they'll pay them up to the limit you've selected on the policy. And you use that before you get into any underinsured or uninsured limits of liability.
Right.
But here in Massachusetts, unlike your PIP, our PIP goes away. The minute we get on the bike, the only time we can use PIP is if we're standing beside our bike and somebody knocks it over on us. Or we leave the bike and we walk across the street as a pedestrian and we're struck by a vehicle, then we can use the PIP coverage. Other than that, because that has a tort threshold of 2,000, and bikers wanted first dollar coverage, so we opted to go with the medical payments so we can go right from first dollar.
Right. My bike's worth about 30 grand.
Mm-hmm.
My deductible is $1,000.
That's what I take as well. And it's smart to choose a higher deductible because the difference between like a $500 and a $1,000 deductible out of pocket may be like $300 to $500. It's easy for a shop to bury $500. It's a lot more difficult to come up with thousands upon thousands of dollars for medical payments. So, yeah, we always suggest, you know, take a higher deductible on the comp and collision and, you know, beef up the liabilities so that you cover yourself properly because, you know, trying to pay medical bills out of pocket hundreds of thousands of dollars as opposed to paying a lousy $500 to cover a deductible, you know.
I got some coverage with my union, and then I have I also have an Aflac plan.
Yeah.
That check came every week.
Excellent. Yeah, there are other things people can do. Disability policies will help them, you know, in the event they do get hurt.
Yeah, the only thing I want to remind you of, or anybody out there, is don't forget to put it on your taxes.
Put what on your taxes, honey?
The Aflac. I had an Aetna policy and an Aflac policy, and I got charged taxes on both of them.
Ah.
Yep.
Yeah, because it's like supplemental income.
That's correct.
Yes. And Uncle Sam has to have his piece of the pie.
That's correct. I had to pay, what I had to pony up, I think, $513.85 to the state.
Wow. No, they get us coming and going, but...
Yeah, I mean, it kind of hurts a little bit, but sometimes I wish they...
Yeah, but at least you had something there. The money was coming in. It helped out a lot.
Yes, it did.
Actually, I'm going to tell you about a case I just read yesterday in my trade magazine. I can't recall which state it was from, but there were two employees, a supervisor and an employee, and they were going to a convention. And they decided, because it was a beautiful day, to ride their bikes. So what happened is they ride their bikes there, and then on the way back home or back to the office, they decide, because it's such a gorgeous day, they're going to take the scenic route. Well, the supervisor was leading the way, and the employee ended up, I don't know what happened, he veered off the road and got injured, and he tried to put in a workers' comp claim. And it went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled that the minute they chose to take the scenic route home, even though he was following the supervisor, it was no longer going to and from work.
Correct.
And it wasn't in the course of his employment, and they denied the claim. So those of you who ride to work and think, you know, oh, I'll take the scenic route home, like myself, who tends to do that quite a bit.
Right.
It's not a workers' comp claim. It's a sin law. You're out of luck. All right. So I think the only thing that I haven't touched upon here was the comp. Well, the comp and the collision. In most states, it's broken out into two separate coverages, comprehensive, which would be fire, theft, vandalism, et cetera, and collision, which is obviously crash. But I just want to remind people, most states view a collision with an animal, like a deer, is not a collision loss. It's considered a comprehensive loss. And
you can't sue the deer to get the money back.
Yeah, no kidding. So it's a comprehensive loss, and like in Massachusetts, comprehensive is always sold with a deductible, and the deductible is always taken, so that's money you're out.
Right.
But in collision, there's a waiver of deductible, so if it's not your fault, and you have the information on the other party, you can get back to First Dollar, which is nice. So, anyway, moral of the story is cover your ass and your assets. You know, think, and it isn't worth it to save a lousy $60, $70, $100 a year to, you know, to undercut and undermine, you know, your well-being should you go down, because,
right,
you know, you just leave yourself and your family. And I'll give you a for instance. Had a conversation here last year with the director of our hog chapter. He had the basic minimum 2040. He had no medical payments. He didn't even have collision and comprehensive on his bike. I kept telling him, let me go over your insurance. You'd be surprised what, it, what the difference is going to cost you. No, 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 I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. Sure enough, didn't he go down and died, got killed, was wearing a helmet. The helmet came off in the collision, bounced down the highway. He died of horrible brain injury and left his family in a financial tither.
Wow.
Yeah. I'll give another for instance. Had another customer call me who was in an accident down in Georgia. Was coming back last year, I guess, from Sturgis, and decided to go with some friends down through Florida and then come back up the coast. Got hit by a driver in Georgia. Thought he had covered himself properly. Found out he had no collision and only had the minimal bodily injury, and was like beside himself. And when I showed him what the difference was between the full coverage and taking the full boat liability, $250,000, $500,000 was like $200 difference a year, he was like beside himself.
Wow.
And then he got hit again. Another right, a girl, a 17-year-old girl, came out of a side street and just careened right into him. Unfortunately, this time, you know, we had the coverage in place, so all the rehab and everything was paid for, and, you know, he was in a lot better position.
So yeah, and Art says that a friend of his, the pen owner, was responsible for the accident. A friend sued and the dog owner, and he won. And in Sioux State, according to them, they own the deer.
Wait a minute. Say that again?
Ed, he went back to a question about the deer, but he said Sioux State, according to them, they own the deer.
Really?
And then he says for the pet
that
owners...
That would be an interesting case.
Yeah. And then he says, for pet owners are responsible for the accidents, a friend sued, a dog owner, and one.
Well, yeah, because in most places there are leash laws. I mean, they just don't allow dogs to run wild anymore, you know?
Right.
Now I wonder what would happen if it was an endangered species, like we have coyotes out here.
Huh?
They're an endangered species. I don't know if you could sue the state and win on that, though. They are protected. Interesting.
Yeah, everybody's protected. What about protecting us?
Well, my biggest pet peeve, as you may or may not know, is when I do biker bits every morning and I post the accidents and I see the right-of-ways, and I don't see that a person even got a lousy citation or, you know, they say, oh, it's the investigation is ongoing, but then you never see anything else in the paper about it. And most people, you know, are taking our right of way, injuring, maiming, and killing us and getting off scot-free.
That's correct.
And that's not right. I mean, if it was a child in the street, you can bet your bippy that, you know, the community would be up in arms. That person would receive a citation and or jail time.
Yeah, they want to lynch your ass.
Yeah.
You know, because like Art says, he says, you know, you have to get a permit to shoot your deer.
Well, but yes, you need a permit to shoot a deer. But I'm just saying, you know, 40% of all the accidents that I post are right of ways. And I have, like, maybe 10% of them do I see where people received even a lousy citation or they're being locked up or whatever. So, you know, that's unacceptable.
Right. I think we got somebody who might want to ask you a question. Let me bring them in.
Okay.
Hello, 951.
This is Merlin.
Hey, Merlin, how you doing? We have Betsy online from Boston.
Hey, Merlin, how are you?
Hey, Betsy. I'm good.
Good.
She's
updating
us on
now?
The insurance free.
Yeah, I've been listening. I want to add a comment in there on the endangered species stuff. A few years back, I was in Alturas, California, up in Modoc County, northern part of the state, and came across a great owl, an endangered species at the time, that had been roadkill. And I thought, oh, man, look at this. And I was in the habit of collecting roadkill tails. I had squirrels and raccoons. They had a dumb hobby, but nevertheless, it was the one I had at the time. And so I'm picking some feathers and a couple of the claws, and I realized that the owl had stopped to pick up a squirrel that had been run over, and then he'd been run over, and now I'm picking the owl, and I started looking down the road like this is a cosmic joke.
You're
going to
get run over.
But I didn't. But what I did do was I grabbed a Ziploc bag out of my stuff, and I took one wing and a couple of the claws, because they're real interesting feet. Their feathers run all the way down to their toes. And I hauled it back to San Diego, where I was living, and went over to a friend's house who really knows birds. And I said, hey, Skip, you know, look what I got. And he says, oh, God, you know, where'd you get that? Told him. And I said, what is it? And he said, it's about $10,000 a feather. And I went, what? The fine, no matter how you got it, for having an endangered species.
Oh, wow.
And a bird, eagle, great owl, $10,000 a feather.
Wow.
At which point the story went from true to absolutely false. Never touched a great horned owl in my life. And you can't prove it. But
right.
That's and if I had gone down and crashed, I would have, in fact, according to the people that I talked to, seemed to really know what they were doing. One of them was a federal wildlife management official. He said, doesn't matter. If you kill the animal, even if it's standing in the road and you go down, you're liable for the death of the endangered species animal.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And I just, you know, and as you were talking about, you know, somebody owning the deer, and yeah, I've heard that discussion go, and it depends on the state's laws. But so that's my comment on the endangered species motorcycle blip. Just walk
wow,
away.
Wow, that
from
is
the bird.
Quite interesting. So if I hit a coyote and kill him, I could be fined. Even though he's obstructing my right of way by being in the middle of the road.
If he's an endangered species.
Yeah, he and coyotes are endangered species here.
Really? Where? Are you in Boston?
Boston, and believe it or not, I'm 4 miles northwest of Boston. And
so
2 years ago, we had coyotes, not in my yard, but in my neighbor's yard.
God,
and the
most places
state
I
came
go
out
with coyotes
and the,
are either.
The state came out, and I actually, there's a picture of me on my website with the flyer that they had about coyotes being endangered species and what you could and couldn't do. I mean, you couldn't even shoo them out of your yard, nothing. You had to just leave them alone.
I kind of like the Wyoming aspect, which is it's $25 bounty. You just take the coyote in and turn him in, and they pay $25 because he's not out killing sheep. And, you know, in Montana, they say eat more sheep, 25,000 coyotes can't be wrong. But anyway.
Well, in France, they say eat more. 30 million Frenchmen can't be wrong.
Frenchmen can't be wrong.
Yeah, that would be an interesting case to follow, though, you know.
Which one?
I hope I'm not the test case for it, obviously.
Yeah.
I know one time my girlfriend and I, we were on our way out to Americade, and we were out going around out past the Berkshires, and she got hit in the arm with a bird, almost knocked her off the bike. You know, and at that point in time, we said, gee, I wonder what would have happened. You can't go after the bird, you know.
Hey, I gotta ask you guys, hold on a second. We got, let me get this, I think it's from Scotland. Hello, caller, 447.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, hold on, I'm doing good, man, hold on a second. Hello, Carrie,
hello?
Is that you?
Yeah, it's Kitty. How are you doing?
Kitty?
Not bad.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
We have Betsy from Boston. Merlin's out somewhere discovering America. And we have Evil Eve from England.
That's where he is right now.
Sorry,
Merlin.
I missed that. Someone just spoke over you, Philip. Sorry.
Hi, Kitty. I am in a little corner of Arkansas called Roan Valley, and it's a nice big, about a 12, 15-acre campground that I'm being asked, do I want to manage for the summer? And it's near a bigger town called Ravenden, which has 500 people. It's on Highway 62, and right now it's pretty much in the middle of Tornado Alley.
Wow.
Oh. Can I speak? The last couple of days in Scotland here has been really bad. The weather's been really windy. 80 miles plus weather in Scotland the last couple of days. Probably not as bad as what you have been put through, but in Scotland that's quite bad. And it has been horrible here.
If you're with good people, the weather becomes pretty secondary.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been blessed with some amazing people this year. And
hey,
then
by
I'll
the
find
way,
out how bad
are you going to be
was.
Able to make it back
it's not
for
about
my
being
ride?
Blessed with good people. It's about being blessed with a good bloody house and where you stay. You know what
actually,
I mean?
This one is concrete block. And tucked up against the side of a hill, so I think I'm tornado safe. But the flood line is about four feet above the windowsill, where less than a month ago this place, the floor was 6 feet underwater.
Wow!
And that's why I got it so rent free, because I had to clean the flood damage out.
Wow!
But hey, you know, free home is a free home, and I'm dry, and it's wet on the lawn, so what do I care?
There you go.
Well, you should care.
Hey, Merlin,
are you thinking
you're going to join me for my posse ride in September?
I think so. It looks like I'm the plans that I have for a family reunion in the Berkshires is the last week of August.
Okay.
Which means I'm going to be real close. All right,
so you can pick me up. We're going to be heading out the Mass Pike, so we could pick you up along that way. And my plan right now is to leave September 4th. But I got your email. I think I sent you all the paperwork I had on the info thus far. And as I fine-tune it, I'll keep you in the loop.
Yeah, please do. Please do, because I'm going to be up in the area. And other than that, don't know. I may stay here for a few weeks. you know, if nothing else, it's I've finally figured out how to live on nothing a day, and without actually stealing anything. You know, that's the cute part. But
I'll take a lesson in that.
That Jerry says Jerry's calling from Scotland, and she says this is kind of boring. So Jerry, what would you like to say
that
to liven this
up?
Oh,
honey, I'm sorry.
Wait in, boring. Wait in, Terry.
Sorry.
It'll take.
Go ahead, Terry. How are you gonna liven this up?
Boring people.
No, you're not boring people. Basically, I'll tell you what. When Merlin's on, we get an extra 200 to 300 people because they would just want to know where he's at this time of the
right.
year.
Right. He's like, where's Waldo?
Where's Waldo? Yeah.
Except for where's Merlin?
here's a couple of the milestones I've done. I've been out a year now. That's the first one. Out a year on the 7th of May. 35 states, 38,000 miles. I have completed a end-to-end run of Route 66. I've done the whole thing and found a bunch of cute Burma Shave signs and a couple of really spectacular restored old gas stations and one, nudie bar. It was a nudie bar. But, I was in Chicago a week and a half ago, met with Terry Hardy, interesting man, and found a couple of great-great-grandfather's grave sites.
Wow.
Wandered around Civil War battlefields that my ancestors had fought on, and that's kind of spooky to stand there and go, okay, this is really kind of weird because this is where this guy was on this particular day, and here's a monument and everything, and the names are there. And then I keep bumping into people like this little Rhone Valley thing. There's only 500 people in the town, and it looks like 88 of them ride Harleys. It's amazing. Apparently the Sportster survives a flood better than damn near everything but a cedar tree.
Merlin,
we were over. Yes.
You know, Art is out of Poway, and he made a comment. He said that you had too many teeth to stay in Arkansas.
Well, not only that, but I'm legible in more than three states. my host here is a really neat guy, and he wants me to run his campground while he goes off and rides the motorcycle for a month. But he's got one son that I absolutely can't understand a word. And I know he's speaking English, but the accent, whatever, boy, it's just gone. I have to look for a translator every time I talk with him. It's gorgeous here. They have thunder that starts on one side of where you're looking and works across like a stereo test pattern, testing out a stereo system, and it'll just be a 90-second drum roll kind of a thing of thunder that'll move from your left clear across the front to your right. It's rained a couple hours every day for a week, and then it'll hit this beautiful, bright sunshine, and for 20 minutes, it's absolutely gorgeous, and then the fog rises up and the humidity jacks up, and it's like being in a sauna. It's gorgeous. That's one of the prices you pay to have this much green, I guess. A couple of the kids came by with some really nice large trout. The hatchery up the stream, when it flooded, it dumped all the trout in, and boy, are they. Welcome to America. Welcome to America. It's absolutely amazing.
I hope you like fish.
Well, I couldn't talk the kids out of it. They were on their way hot-footing it home to get them into a pan quick. But I'm going to learn. I like fish, and I'm going to grab one of the kids' poles and go down and There's enough little boats around here. The way they check to see if it's going to flood is they ride 12 miles up the road and look at their lake up here in a town near, or look at the river in a town near Hart named Hardy, and then they decide that 6 hours from now it will be up or down here. And so I did one of those rides. It seems strange to me, but yep, you ride up the road, look at the river up there, and whatever it is, high or low there, 6 hours later, that's what it's going to be here. Personally, I kind of thought a phone call would have done it, but the motorcycle ride was much more fun.
What I'm gonna do real quick, we're gonna take a short break. I'm gonna play. Since everybody's talking about floods and stuff, I think it's time for a little Stevie Ray, and this one's called The Texas Flood. Let me play this, and then I'll bring everybody back. And the first one I'm going to give the mic to is Gary, and then Evil E's on in England. So if anybody's got any questions for Merlin, when I come back from the song, we'll talk to Merlin, and then we'll talk to Gary.
Okay.
Ken Merlin. Oh, sorry.
Okay, here we go.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Who's got the sound out in the back? Yeah, who's got the sound out in the back?
I can hear it.
Okay.
Say what?
No, I said who had the sound on in the back. But we just had a request for Rihanna. Who's that chick? That's a request for some Carrie. But we don't have access to that one. If it's heavy metal, rock and roll, or anything like that, yeah. But my hard drive just doesn't go that way.
Yeah, it's fine, Philip.
Huh?
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay.
I'm just thinking of, like, shaking my booty.
Well, you can shake your booty. You can shake your booty to what I just played. So, does anybody have any questions for Carrie about Scotland?
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
I was thinking of Old Bridge as well.
Well, I'm curious as to...
Go ahead, Merlin.
I've got some ancestry into Scotland. The family name is McAfee, or I've been told it's McGoofy if you say it really right. That seems to fit how I live. It's quite goofy. But anyway, the family is from an area down near Stranraer.
Yeah. That's just at the border. You can actually get the a ship out to, not a ship, but you can actually get, well, you can get a ship out to Ireland from Stranraer. That's where you can go from.
Is
your family from Ireland by any chance as well?
We think so, but I haven't been able to prove it yet. I do have some relatives, or some part of the family, up in Enniskillen, in Ulster, family Cole, and that's the basically that's the baronetcy and of Enniskillen and the Castle Cole and everything. That's I'm all related to that.
Right. So you're quite rich,
and,
then.
Yeah, that and a stamp will get me a letter mailed. No, there ain't no money. It's one of the reasons I won't look back in history.
You must have money if you're related to them.
Well, you would have thought. But you see, my Italian great-grandfather married Bertha. Her name's Bertha Cole, and she's the daughter of the Baron. But he had a real problem with, as he called them, guineas. And, he just hated. He hated Italians. And so when his two sons brought one of the Italian ship's officers home to meet the dad, it was a joke. Right up to the point where Giacomo and Bertha looked at each other across the front hallway, and it was love at first sight. And the only one that got... you know, got the joke pulled on him was the old man, because now he had to marry his daughter off to one. But there was money, but there ain't. So.
But who can I speak to next then that's got money? No, I'm only joking.
I keep looking for her.
I'm only joking.
But sooner, you know, I only got about 14 more states to hit, and either I find, you know, the one that's got money and is willing to play this game with me, or I'm done.
Carrie, I got a question for you.
Yeah, okay, honey.
What is your riding season like? Like, what month to what month, and do you get, like, four seasons a year, or three, or two?
No, we get one season a year in Scotland, and I'll tell you why. Well, we actually get two. Rain and snow, and, well, actually, we might get three. Rain, snow, and feckin' cold all year round.
Mm-hmm. But what's the warmest it ever gets there, and how long does it stay warm?
Well, you know what? We had like 2 weeks in April there, and everybody had their shorts and T-shirts on. It was like minus 10.
Wait a minute. It's
seriously?
Minus 10? Celsius?
No, I'm just joking.
Celsius.
No, I'm just joking with you.
Oh, okay.
It was actually really nice. It was like minus 4. And we actually all had our shorts and T-shirts on in April for like 2 weeks. But now it's been like bloody well blowing a gale, blowing all the trees down, and it's just been horrible the past few weeks. But Scotland basically is crap weather, but good people.
Mm-hmm. So, like, How long is your riding season? Like, could you ride a motorcycle, like, from April through to October?
Hell no.
Oh,
nope.
Okay. Shorter?
Oh, yeah.
So, like, what, June to August?
You can't even date it. It's got to be, like, you've got to do it by the week or even the day in here. Over
if,
here.
If you're ready and it happens, you go riding.
Right.
Exactly.
But I mean, it sounds like they don't get good weather at all.
No, we don't get good weather at all. It's a good job we've got a good sense of humor over here.
So why would anybody want to live there if the weather's so wild?
Well, because we're good people. And
the weather's
shit, but the people are fantastic. And now and again, where we stay is fantastic as well. Like the riding up north, as I've said before in this program, is fantastic. It really is. But you can't rely on the weather here at all. It's really rubbish. Really crap.
Wow, that's a
shame. But the whiskey is good, the people are great, and the sweaters are phenomenal. So,
there
and the whiskey's
go.
Good.
Well,
and
I know they have
food.
Nice sweaters.
I hate to be the spoiler for everybody, but I can ride all year round.
Don't.
It's anywhere from.
Oh my God! I knew you were going to say that.
So what?
You
passed them.
When I go down the coast, I have the ocean on the right side, waves, everything. When I come back up on the left side. I still have the ocean. I still have the sun. I have the wind in my face.
And then you get up and go to work. And I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. And the bad part is at least every couple of weeks I drive to the border and realize I got to turn around and go back so I can go to work.
Well, let's all slap you then.
The first clue is when I see that says you are now leaving the United States.
Yeah, you are now leaving. In Wyoming, they say they have two seasons, winter and road repair.
It sounds similar to Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, if you're going to be up this way, they're tearing up Route 93. It's going to be
down for almost the whole summer, right?
Yeah, and they're starting it like the week of Laconia. I mean, come on, what's the matter with these people? What were they thinking?
Well, they gotta figure out how they could get those bikers to get some money somehow.
Yeah.
You confused government with thinking.
Oh, yeah, exactly. What am I thinking when I confuse government for thinking? Or thinking government thinks?
Yeah. Wait a thinking government? How does that work? It doesn't.
I don't know.
So... How long is the season to ride over there?
Tuesday.
Yeah, till Tuesday, okay.
Doesn't sound long.
Who are you talking to?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. How long is the season to ride over there?
To me? Oh, it's just whatever day that bloody well works out with the weather.
Huh? Really?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
not to brag, but, you know,
in December,
you do it all year long.
It's not the same as England.
One at a time, please. You're stepping on each other.
All right.
Sorry.
So
go ahead, Carrie.
In like December, you could get a nice day and you go riding, and then you wouldn't have another good day until January. And then you might have a good day then, so you go riding, so there's no real riding season. It's just day by day.
No, Belle, it's different in England than over here, the United Kingdom. England gets better weather than Scotland. Scotland
okay.
is just... You've just got to take a chance any day that it comes, yeah? England,
okay.
yeah, you maybe get a continuous few days of good weather where you can go and ride and whatever, but in Scotland, no. But when you do in Scotland, it's really fantastic, believe it or not. It is, but we don't get as good as weather as what England does.
Mm.
But we actually party more in...
Well, yeah, because the weather's so wild.
Oh, hell yeah.
You can't go outside, so you might as well stay in the bar.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, even if Robbie Burns had a motorcycle, he'd still be in a bar drinking and writing. You know?
Hell yeah. It's
well,
true.
I always thought England had
rainy, misty, foggy weather. Sorry?
I always thought England had rainy, misty, foggy weather most of the time.
Well, yes, they do, but not as bad as Scotland.
Wow.
Bill, you spent time in England and Europe and everything, and then you have an American standard. You've lived in Boston and down on the South Coast. What's your...
Merlin, Bill's not here today.
Oh, hell, why did I bother calling in? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I know why I called in. There's a bunch of people that are worth talking to.
On Tuesdays,
Bill takes care of his mom still. But he'll be here Thursday.
Well, good for him.
It's Tuesday,
yeah.
in case you didn't remember.
Well, Merlin doesn't know. Merlin, I don't think Merlin carries a watch or has a calendar. He just goes by the seat of his pants.
I don't have a watch. There is a calendar on the phone. I finally found it the other day. I've had the phone for 3 years. And very often I'm lucky if I know what month I'm in. It really gets cute when you don't care. But I do keep track of Tuesday and Thursday. And
I'm so envious.
It is a special kind of madness, though. I mean, look at this. My social life consists of you people.
That's a good thing.
I always
can't
wonder
get
about
in trouble.
Why would I want to join a club that would have me? I know they have no standards. They're letting me in. But but anyway, no, I always enjoy these. I really do enjoy you people. I try to be friendly.
So how was Nashville?
Nashville was amazing. Charlie Baker and Shoney are absolutely super, super people. And I stayed with them about 3 days, helped with the setup and tear down of the event, rode the two. They do 200-mile rides, which is very unusual. At least on the West Coast, seems to be somewhat common where they have a shorter season. But I listened to a young lady named Montana Storm sing and actually got my picture taken with this cutie. Amazing young lady. They tell me that she is going to be one of the next great female country music people. She's absolutely amazing. She's looking forward to her 18th birthday and starting college. But boy, is she a craftsman with a guitar and her voice.
Wow.
Really, oh, gosh, blew me away. And the event itself got weather bit. This was when the floods were hitting like mad. And Nashville wasn't really flooding, but Memphis was getting hit big time. And about May 11th or so. And but great, great ride, great people. The Bikini Beach biker bar there in Nashville is it's worth going to. It's a hoot.
It's a really nice place. It is.
Well, it's not so much that it's really nice, but it's fun. It's real. There's no bogus to it at all. It is very, very, this is it, folks, no more, no less. You walk through the bar and go into the backyard, or you can ride your motorcycle in around the fence and into the backyard, and it's paved and everything back there. But if you go between the bar to the bandstand where the dance floor is, that's how you get your motorcycle from one side of the back to the other side of the back to go out. So where people are dancing, somebody wants to leave, the dancers have to clear the floor while the motorcycle goes through and then come back in. They got a pole there, a dancer's pole hanging there, so you get...
Did they have any better strippers this time than last time?
No strippers. There were some interesting amateurs who were working the pole, and I got a lot of pictures of various women upside down. No nudity and nothing crude, but definitely, for some reason or other, Nashville drives women up the pole to hang upside down. It's just a fun place. Nashville itself, nice town. Kind of hard to get around and figure out where you're at, but I met some really, really neat people. And then, like I say, Charlie Baker and Shawnee, they're amazing. They really are neat, and they worked very, very hard to put this event together. And he's going to be up touring up north, up down east and such.
He had a little problem with that, Merlin. And there's a kink in the armor right now, but it's trying to be worked out.
Ah, damn. He's really looking forward to it, too.
Yeah. But what I'm going to do is, I'll ask you guys to hold on a second. I'm going to play this song. I got a knock at the door. I got to go answer. And I'll be right back. But
Want you out of the bathroom, right, Phil?
No,
I'm going to head out because I got to get up at 4 a.m. But I want to thank you for the opportunity. And always a pleasure to talk to you, Merlin. And
you too, Patty.
Katie, it was a pleasure talking to you as well.
Oh, you too, sweetheart.
And Scotland's, believe it or not, on my bucket list. So hopefully I'll get over there one of these days. If I do, get in touch with Philip and look you up.
Well, come over. Now we'll meet you in Edinburgh and show you around.
Awesome.
Lovely.
All right.
Good night.
Good night. Talk to you soon. Be safe.
Good night, honey. Bye.
All right, bye.
This one, I think I know who it is, and they have lights on top of the car. Let me, this one's for Carrie, and I'll be right back.
Woo!
Yeah.
Okay, that was for Carrie in Scotland. And I told her I was going to play the keeper, but I'm not going to play that one for a minute or two. And we'll let the smoke settle. I just fired up a doobie, and it's some good shit.
My smoke.
I answered the door with it in my hand, and they just wanted to let me know that I needed to move my trash cans off the curb. I didn't know they bothered anybody.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah. It's all kinds of stupid shit out here, Merlin, with these guys.
Let's see. There ain't no curbs. I can't find a trash can. And if we do have something we want to haul over, we haul it across the field to the other guy's junkyard and just hide it there. It works much better here.
Uh-huh.
Although I did find a 46 Cadillac over in the guy's junkyard, so. Anyway.
So, Carrie, where are you at today? Where are you at right now?
I'm just outside Edinburgh. I'm just in my house tonight.
Oh, you're at the house today?
I'm at my house tonight, yeah.
Okay. How's the weather tonight?
Really, it's been really bad the last couple of days.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Really bad wind, like 80 miles per hour, which is bad for Scotland. Really raining, which is normal for Scotland, but today it's been really cold as well. It's been more like October than May.
Really? Now, I live outside the back gate of the largest Marine Corps base in the United States, and right at about 75 feet outside my front door on the back of the ridge. On the back of the ridge, I can see between the two mountains, and I'm watching the sun go down over the ocean right now.
Stop making me jealous. Bloody hell. I look at my back window, and it's the dirty old pervert woman that keeps looking in on me every day. I think I might flash at her tonight. She
evil.
Does.
Really?
It's not Yo. Evil. I'm just saying.
Invite her over for a drink. Maybe that'll loosen her up.
Yeah.
I tried that, but.
Doesn't work, huh?
No, I never tried that, actually. Uh-huh. I'll just flash at her tonight.
Yeah.
She annoys me. Right in my back bloody door. Look out the window. There she is, with her walking stick, staring in. So I'm going to flash.
Oh, thanks. Now I'll be thinking about that for the rest of the show. I'll be thinking I'm jealous of that old lady out the window.
I'm going to flash when her husband looks as well. Uh-huh.
There you go. That sounds better. Of course, she might hit him with the walking stick, but who knows?
And that'll let her wonder why you're flashing him.
He will need a walking stick when I flash. You bloody well, I'm fed up with it. You're so lucky staying where you are.
Well, I try, you know. I got stationed here and I just decided to stay.
I wondered how you ended up there.
I'm originally from Chicago. In 1979, when I left, it was September. In fact, it was September 12th. And I'll give you guys a little background information.
Day after my birthday. Sorry.
Well, happy birthday, belated birthday. But what happened was...
Birthday.
Yeah, I forget if it was a Monday or a Tuesday, but I was at the courthouse. My attorney, the recruiter, the district attorney, judge, the back of the courtroom in the judge's chambers.
Son, you
Who's
got
laughing?
One shot here.
let me finish the story, then I'll take questions. And yeah. So the judge says to the recruiter, how long is he leaving for? Well, Your Honor, he signed up for 3 years. Well, I'm here to tell you I don't want him back here in 3 years. What can we do to make this a little longer? So we went out in the hallway with my attorney and the recruiter, and we changed the 3 to a 4, and I figured at this point I'm fucked either way.
Yeah.
So basically, yeah. So basically, we go back in, and he says, "Well, Your Honor, we changed it to a 4-year contract." Well, I'm here to tell you, 4 years isn't long enough. What can we do?
Holy cow.
And I said, at that point, I whispered to my attorney,
TV.
Well, at that point, I whispered to my attorney, "Well, I'm fucked either way. 4 years isn't long enough. How much time am I going to get if I just stay here and take the deal?" He said, "Well, you're looking at 3 to 5. Maybe you'll be out in 18 months. Good behavior."
Really?
And I'm thinking, at that time in my life, there was no good behavior. So we went out and talked to the recruiter again. And I ended up signing up for 6 years. And my sixth
really?
Year... Yeah, and after my sixth year, I did 6 more. And then 6 months after the sixth year, I got... well, in 1983, I got hurt in Beirut. I was in the embassy when it got blown up. So I ended up with a few...
Oh,
yeah,
sure.
I ended up with a few things, and I was able to reenlist for... right after I reenlisted... That was in October. I reenlisted in September, and I reenlisted early. They offered me a couple of things. I took them. I got some money out of the deal, and then 6 months after my 12th year, I spent 29 days in Iraq, and ended up getting screwed up over there too. So they offered me an early out, and I took it. But when I got here, I got stationed here in 85. I never left. To make a long story short.
What the hell?
I want to thank you. Even though it may have started off in a bit of a twisted blackmail, Screwdriver, I would like to thank you for your service. And Beirut was an ugly, ugly mess, and I'm pleased that you came out of it okay. Nobody comes out of those things. Nobody comes out of those
things. No, as long as I take my meds, I'm okay.
Is that it?
Yeah.
We all come out a little screwed up, but boy, that one. Another friend of mine there in Oceanside, a guy named Gary Ingram, he had been a master gunnery sergeant, Provo office, for years, and he went in Corps same way. Him, a recruiter, and an attorney standing in front of the judge. And he ended up, as I say, master, top cop at Pendleton. And in fact, we just sold his bike here not more than a month ago. It belonged to a friend of mine who was killed, and we finally sold it. But I got a feeling a lot of the really good members of the Corps went in with an attorney on their elbow for some reason or another.
Exactly.
Hello.
If you ever seen a movie, it's called Thief, and James Caan trying to get what the hell is his name? Willie Nelson out of prison. So the attorney's sitting at the desk, and he puts 4 fingers on his cheeks. And the judge puts 6 fingers.
Oh, God.
At the end of the story, Willie Nelson got released, but he had angina and collapsed on the steps when they freed him. But, yeah, that's why Chicago is known as the city that works.
Yeah. Well, I was in Chicago a week ago, and what I found was an amazingly friendly chunk of that town. I don't know whether I was just dealing with one or two little corners, and I happened to find the friendly spots, but... Boy,
well, just to enlighten you, Merlin, and Carrie, I'm gonna bring guys in. One guy, the first guy I'm going to bring in, I'm going to let him say hello, and then I'm gonna ask him to hold on while I bring in the other person.
And I just asked something at first.
Hello, Pete.
You don't mind. Oh.
Hey, Phil.
Carrie, this is from Boston.
Yeah. Hey, Carrie.
Hi.
It's Pete.
Oh, hi, Pete. How are you?
Hello, Pete.
Hey, Merlin. What's happening? How you doing?
Hey,
took me about eight tries, but I finally got through on this damn blog talk thing.
Yeah.
I couldn't get on the chat. I'm logged into the blog talk. The box came up for the chat, and it won't let me write anything. And then I called the phone line, this phone line, and it clicks, and then it cuts me off when I get a dial tone. So I gave up, and then I called back, and I finally got on. So I don't know. It's happened on all the shows I've gone on Blog Talk Radio. So it's not. I know it's not
personal,
on my end.
Just
so you know, I don't know.
Bill and his phone bill.
No, there's no problem here with the phone. In fact,
it's Blog Talk. They have that. It's happened to me on other shows. I call in, and I'll immediately get a click. There'll be no recording to press one to speak with the host, nothing. We'll just click, and you get that cuts me off. And it happened to me. It's happened to me on Phil's show. It's happened to me on Hermes's show. And a few other shows that I go on, Hank, on his show a couple times, and another show that I do that's not biker related. It's happened. I actually called their show when I got booted off your show a few times just to see, and I couldn't get on their show either.
Okay.
It's a blog talk problem. It's not a phone bill problem.
And then,
so, how's everybody doing?
Hey, hold on a minute, Pete. Let me bring this guy in, Merlin. This person called, and I'm going to bring him in. This is someone you might know. Hello, Terry.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, Phil.
No, Carrie.
Ah.
I said Terry.
Hey,
yeah,
Phil,
hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Good.
Did you say Carrie?
No, I said Terry.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Everybody's confused.
Okay, let me run down the callers here. This is Terry out of Chicago. Merlin just said he was with him not too long ago. We have Merlin on, we have Pete on from Boston, and we have Carrie on from Scotland. We had Evil Lee on from England, but he lost the connection.
Mm-hmm.
And Terry, I just want to let you know, everything you sent me about that, as soon as I get them or within a day, I'll put that up on the blog for you.
Hey, I got another one for you right now.
Sure, go ahead.
It's our event that's coming up down in Portsmouth, Virginia. In fact, culminating over there near the Hamptons. You were just talking about Bleak Camp Pendleton, or MCRD, somewhere over in San Diego. Well, what about the other side of the continent? You've got Fort Monroe.
Uh-huh.
Fort Monroe is very historic army base, a fort, the original fort here in the United States.
Aren't they getting ready to turn that into condos?
I believe so. They're definitely getting ready to close down the military installation there. No definite plans that I am aware of. As to
uh-huh.
what the end result is going to be. But we're looking forward to being there on the 11th of next month with the Ride for Change, Ride for Hope culminating there for a presentation ceremony there. Looking forward. I didn't know much about this place until recently. One of my members brought it to my attention as a place that we should highlight as we are moving around the country with the Life of Change, Life of Hope, focusing on places of historical significance. This one,
mm-hmm.
I did not know that back in 1611, this is where the first slaves came ashore here in the United States.
Uh-huh.
Not only that, it was the first place where a baby of African descent was born here on United States soil. It was also a place where slaves sought refuge during the Civil War and were granted their freedom if they made it to Fort Monroe. That's why it's called Freedom Fortress.
Uh-huh.
So before they closed the military installation, we want to take advantage of the opportunity to ride over there with the motorcycles, and we're also going to take some kids there from various churches and foster homes and share the history of this location with them as well. Good piece. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, and like I told you before, anytime you want to plug anything, you're more than welcome. And if you send me Whatever you want to send me, I'll put it up for you within a day or two.
Okay, super cool. Super cool. How's everybody doing out there?
Well,
I'm doing good, man. The weather's sunny and it's nice. I ride down in the morning about 3:30. There's no traffic. It's just a nice ride. And then in the morning it's about 7:30. The sun comes out by about 9 o'clock. It's usually in the 70s.
Not bad. Milton, how's the ride been out there for you?
It's been good. I'm hitting weather. I found a little place to hole up here in northwestern Arkansas, but the idea of traffic around here is the two of you come up to the stop sign and you look at each other and decide who goes first. It's terrible. It's lovely. It's lovely. It's you know, a little rainy and a little humid, but right now it's clean and it's I can hear all kinds of various nighttime critters, you know, bugs and owls and the occasional cow in somebody's field or swimming upstream. I'm not sure what they're doing right now, but I do love the South, and they eat well down here too. But then Terry and I, you know, we're sitting at one of the things I told Terry, I said, my God, I got to hang with you more often. You eat good. And he does. And, you know, Chicago's a good place to find food. You know, he was a little.
In Chicago, there's always a good place in Chicago.
Yeah, he took me to a couple of sweet ones, too. Yeah, we hit a couple of good ones.
That's a barbecue rib.
Yep. Carried them around, had them the next day, too. They were that good.
Yeah, I used to get them on Madison Street just off of Laramie.
Mm. Good place, good spot.
Yeah, when I was a kid, we lived on Laramie and Lake, right by the L.
Yeah, yeah. It was a real
name. They changed the name of the school I went to, but it's that Catholic school down there off Washington and Laramie. It's called, back then it was called St. Thomas Aquinas, but they changed it to something else. But that's probably why my lifestyle was so rough when I was a teenager, because I went to Catholic school.
Yeah, and then you try to explain, and no, I don't fight. The knuckles were busted by the nuns. And
well, yeah, you know, the funny thing was my mom's youngest sister is a year older than me. I got in trouble. They used to give me the notes. I never took them home, and they finally figured out to give them to her to take them home to my mom.
You were done in by your aunt. Man, what a rude setup. Yeah, I attended Catholic school for a little while.
I did, too. My first school was a Catholic school.
Yeah, I became an ex-Catholic about 2 years later.
I think I became one like the first semester.
No waiting.
I remember the nun. Her name was Sister Chiara. She used to have a nice long yardstick, a big thick fucker. It used to hurt, but I'd get her mad because I'd tell her my mom hits harder.
It was a requirement for us to go to Mass, and I never attended Mass, and my mom, it was brought to my mom's attention. Actually, it was her responsibility to bring me, but I was finally sent by myself, and the doors were just so huge as a kid, you know, opening these big doors. And coming down the aisle were a bunch of guys in these robes and hoods, and they're carrying this lantern, and there's smoke coming out of it. I was like, hell no, I'm not going in there.
I don't know what they're smoking, but I can see it from here.
Yeah, but I know what I'm smoking here, and I can see it and smell it.
I'm sitting here the other evening, and it was nice, you know, the bikes, half a dozen bikes under this, like, shed-like roof, and, you know, it's very, very pastoral. And one of the guys that are running around here, he swings in, little pickup truck, and his girlfriend, and walk in, and everybody's saying hi, and He just sits down at the bench and pulls out a bag and starts rolling. And he's sitting there comparing notes and talking to me about. And I haven't, you know, I haven't seen or done anything like this in years. And you know, it just, but no problem, no paranoia, no worries, no, you know. And I thought, God, you know, it's so much different when you the policeman to citizen ratio is way down where it ought to be.
Right.
You know, just, you know, they know the law system's corrupt and they know how to work it. And it's interesting, you know, because it's straightforward.
Right.
And, you know, it's just very, very cool.
But, hey, I'm gonna bring in another caller. I think if this is who I think it is, I told him he could plug something. Hello, RJ, is that you?
What up?
Hey, how you doing,
what's
man?
RJ? Good, man. How you doing?
Not bad. Right now we have Pete out of Boston. Merlin's out of Arkansas right now. He travels the country. We have Terry in Scotland, and we have Terry Hardy out of Chicago, and we have RJ, who's up in Orange County, California. And I hope you called in to talk about the Trevor Gum bike. Maybe you want to give everybody a little background on that.
Yeah, the Trigger Gum bike, it's gone pretty good, actually. You know, we're building the bike for Trigger to do the world record at Sturgis this year. He's going to beat the record on a distance on a Harley-Davidson at Sturgis this year at the Buffalo Chip. And we got the bike. We're putting shit together and making it happen.
Yeah. I was just reading an article about a jumper today that Blaine Blair, and he broke his back in a big jump. He was the last of the no-ramp landers. What is the record that he's going for? How many feet, do you know?
On a Harley-Davidson, the record right now is about 230 feet. On a dirt bike, the record is 400 feet. So on he has five Guinness Book World title records. And this will be his first on a Harley-Davidson attempt, so he'll beat it. No big deal. He'll beat their current record holder is Seth Inslow, which is a current member of Metal Militia with him. He's also with Metal Militia, so he'll beat the record. And he's actually this time going to beat it so big that no one's going to be able to compare and go over his height.
That's the way to go at it. Just, you know, we're going to put this thing away. God, well, good luck. Are you guys doing, you know, a lot of suspension travel on it, or?
Not too much. I mean, the bike as of now is brand fucking new. So I mean, it's being built. It's gonna do this jump. It's gonna do Arizona. This bike already is getting so much press. It's literally gonna be a world famous bike just because Trigger's jumping it. You know, Trigger is.
Oh my God.
Trigger is, I would say, one of the top guys. You know, he is like Arnold Schwarzenegger of motorcycles. You know, he's the top guy.
Wow.
He's like the Tom Cruise of the motocross industry when it comes to jumping Daredevil. You know, ever since Evel Knievel handed him that torch.
Yeah. Cool.
So some heavy shit going on, man.
Yeah, and that's being done at our one of our favorite motorcycle shops, Illusion Cycles up in Westminster, California. Rusty and T-Rod are the proprietors. And you can get to them on Illusion Motorsports. IllusionMotorsports.com.
Yeah, it's funny. Before I'm calling even Rusty, I've been in court all day, and then I was arrested, and I just got out. So it's kind of funny. I'm calling you before I even call Rusty.
Well, you know, hey, it's when you talk to Rusty, tell him I said hello and send my best. And most of the guys that call this show, they usually call us first, but when they get out, they want to let everybody know they're out.
Well, hey, everybody, I'm out. If you didn't hear from me today,
you're like a low buck bulletin board.
You know, I'm part, I'm part of that California Orange County deal. If you spit, you get a spitting ticket and you fail to pay it, you go to jail. You get a jaywalking ticket, you fail to pay it, you go to jail. You don't wear a helmet on your bike, you fail to pay it, you go to jail because Orange County sucks. Even today, you don't pay your fucking bills and you go to jail.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm smarter than I thought. I go back to California to see friends and visit relatives and hold out during the winter and then run back to somewhere else. It works.
You're smart. Stay out of California.
Yeah.
Well, Merlin's our traveling, what do you want to say? He's our rolling stone. He's gathering no moss as he rolls.
Hallelujah, I'm a bum. No, I am just as Jerry Lee Lewis put it one time, just a bumming around. Got my old slouch hat, and it works, but it's a strange, it's a strangeness. It's, you know, it's like any other case of madness. You know, it's yours. This one's mine.
But explain it, man. How do you wake up in the morning? When you wake up as a bum, what do you wake up? What do you wake up to?
I wake up to the extreme knowledge that I may or may not decide to do something that day. you know, I do know how to set the alarm on the cell phone, you know, so it's not like I'm incapable of functioning. It's just there's a freedom to it. There's a it's an extremely low level of responsibility as opposed to being irresponsible, which is a negative. But I have an extremely low level of responsibility right now, and it's I don't know how long I can do it or even how long I want to do it, but right now it works.
Well, you know,
it works.
Had an opportunity to spend a couple of days with you, so I find you to be a very fascinating person, and the fact that you're able to do that with the qualifications that you have, my mind is boggled.
Well, thank you. You know, the 2 days was amazing. It really was. God, we covered a hell of a lot of territory, but and you got to get your bike fixed, man. You got to get back on the wheel.
Well,
you enjoy the whole thing too much to not have the wheels available to you when you see a dry spot.
Oh, believe me, I'm not too happy about Lakeshore Harley-Davidson blowing out my motor, so we're working on that now with another dealership. I'm looking forward to getting my bike back. I'm really not happy about that.
Yeah, that's the shits when that happens. But, I want you guys to hold out for a second because Carrie called back from Scotland. She had to disconnect for a minute. Now she's back. And I promised her that I'd play this one song. And I'm going to play this for her real quick, and then I'll come back to everybody. But I just ask your patience on this one because I promised her I'd do this before the end of the show. So let me do this now, and then we'll come back, and I'll give everybody the chance to plug anything they want to plug. You'll have the mic for as long as you need it. And then I ask you guys if you also all tune in on Tuesday because this is the Phil and Bill show on Blog Talk Radio. And We have no preference. Anybody can get to the chair. Anybody can talk about anything they want. This is the last bastion of freedom. You can say, do, or hear, or anything you want to do. So let me play this for her, and I'll be right back. This one goes out to Carrie.
Wow. Thank you. You are
Thank you.
Thank you.
No problem. The closure is going to be a good one, too. But, no, I just want to let, we got Pete back. Pete, you're there. But,
I got a better closure for you.
Yeah. Pete, tell us about, Terry, tell us about, Fort Monroe again. Give us a little plug. I put it up in the chat room, but maybe you want to elaborate a little bit.
Hey, Fort Monroe is one of those places in the United States that not a lot of people are aware of. And we thought we would take this opportunity with the Ride for Change, Ride for Hope, to end our motorcycle motorcade there as we highlight another location in another city this year. Fort Monroe's been around since the early 1600s. It was one of the first, it was the first fort in the Virginia area that the colonists occupied. And it was the landing spot of the first slave ship here in the United States. So from an African-American standpoint, it would really be something to raise some eyebrows. As a matter of fact, I think from an African-American, from an American standpoint, because slavery impacted everybody, whether it be positively or negatively. The first child, a black child, was born right there at Fort Monroe. And in addition, after the Civil War, during the Civil War, escaping slaves would seek refuge there at Fort Monroe, where they would be granted their freedom. It's a beautiful opportunity to share this knowledge and this location, which I understand is a very beautiful, beautiful place with a great view into the Atlantic Ocean, it being right there. I'm going to give a presentation there and also to share this history with a bunch of kids that we're going to have on school buses, escorting them there with a motorcycle motorcade. Many of them will be from foster homes, and some of them from neighboring churches in the area.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to partner with the UP Center, which is a foster care agency. And this is about reconciling, you know, culturally, socially, and it's about engaging with the history of the country. You know, one thing about the America, United States of America, regardless of what challenges that we face, we've always been able to find a way to move beyond them. So this is just another part of history that we look back on and consider where we come from, examine where we are. Next step towards a better future for all of us. Regardless of what race we are, we're all Americans. We're all in the same boat. So time for us to really recognize where we come from.
Right.
And, keep it moving.
And that, and the link to get to the world of soul motorcycle.com is in the chat room. And I suggest everybody check it out.
Yeah, check us out at www.worldofsoulmc.com. We'd love to have as many people there as possible. You know, we're looking for some diversity, an opportunity for folks of various races and backgrounds, different types of bikes, you name it, to all be in the same place and have dialogue on issues that matter, have dialogue on the recreation of motorcycling, just getting to know each other. You know, that's the cornerstone of all positive change is communication.
Absolutely. I break those lines of communication.
That's right. That's what we're looking for.
Go ahead.
We've had some great success to the extent that where we didn't think that other folks would be engaged with us, you know, they are engaged with us, and it really breaks down a lot of those stereotypes and prejudices that you think that certain people don't want to be in the same room with people, but that's not the case. When given the opportunity, you know, we find people do very well together.
Yeah, I usually tell people it's not the 60s anymore. Grow up.
There you go.
But, Merlin.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, well, everybody, Terry, Merlin, Carrie, and Pete. Pete, if you can call in Thursday in the beginning of the show, I'll give you all the time you need, brother. I apologize for not being able to get in. But
I had trouble getting on, but Thursday I got quite the story about why my brother got arrested. But well, I'll call in Thursday on that one, obviously. But thanks.
You're welcome. And like I said, anybody is everybody's welcome at any time. And what I wanted to do was I'm going to close this out right now. We're not streaming, but we're live. So what I'm going to do is I invite everybody back Thursday or Tuesday if you can't make it Thursday, but we're two nights a week, six to eight, and the way things are going, we might be adding an extra hour here. And
cool.
I extend the invitation to whoever would like to be a co-host. Email me a couple days before, and we'll set something up, and we'll go from there. We'll pick a couple of topics, and we'll see how it rolls.
Cool.
Hey, Phil, as always, thanks for allowing me to be on your show.
Play my song.
Yes, it's coming right now. I was just letting everybody say goodnight, and then I'll play that for you right now.
You know, shiny side up, folks.
Okay, Merlin, thank you for calling in, buddy.
Night. My pleasure.
Take care, bro.
Good night, Terry. Good night, Carrie. Good night, Pat.
Hey,
good night, Liz McGillicuddy.
Oh.
Good night, screwdriver.
All right, good night, guys. And, Carrie, this one's for you. This is going to take us out. And I extend you listening to this song because you need to come to America, and I will take you to
Vegas.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This one's for you.
Boring.
Ain't got a hope in hell. That's my belief.
Well, thank you.
No worries. You might enjoy that ride on the back of a diner going down the highway at 100 plus, listening to an iPod playing music.
Wow.
That's how we roll out here.
That's why we don't roll out here, because Scotland is so boring.
Well, you need to come to California.
Exactly.
Yeah, my next trip to Vegas is in August. So you got June and July
right.
to think about it.
I'm so jealous.
Don't be jealous.
I am.
Why?
Because all you guys have such a great time out there. And I just wish that it was me. Because Scotland is a beautiful country. The most brilliant people, but it's boring.
Yeah, I can't tell you about somewhere I haven't been yet in my lifetime, but yeah.
Yeah.
So,
lots of pictures. Post lots of pictures so I can look at them and go, bloody hell, I wish that was me.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll do that.
Well, I'm not going to look anyway.
Okay, and if you want to call back Thursday, that's cool, too. So you take care,
okay.
And I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Philip.
All right,
thank
bye-bye.
You. Great
You're
show,
welcome.
Bye.
Anytime, bye-bye.